we just bring it down. We bring it down. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would anoint every single word that I say. That this would be a message from heaven. Bring fresh revelation, I pray. Amen. You can take your seats. Oh, I just love to praise. So welcome to all the new people today. If you've never been in church, welcome. I hope that this message that I'm about to share will make you realize why we're a little bit crazy, why people raise their hands and why people dance and shout and sing. Because if you haven't grown up with it, it can be a little strange. I was born into church, grown up in church, so it's all kind of normal to me. But yeah, this morning I want to talk about the power of praise. And I've got a heavy, weighty message on my heart that I'm just so honored to share with you. The power of praise. That we'd be people that know how to praise. That we know how to lift up Jesus with our lips, with our hearts, but with our lives. People that know how to praise. People that are extravagant in the way they praise and they worship the King. That we would know how to put on that garment of praise. Like you put on clothes. You put it on. In every season of life, in every situation, in every battle that we face, we would know what it is to praise. And that's what's on my heart this morning. And when we do, the thing I just love about praise is that it takes our eyes off us and the temporal and the here and the now and our struggles and our problems and our little lives. And we look up and we put our eyes on Jesus. We put our eyes on the Father, the God of heaven and earth, who just spoke a word and created light and life and rivers and mountains and creatures, and he even took a bit of dust and created us. That's our God, the God of heaven and earth. And I think when we get a glimpse of who he is, of how good he is, of the love that he has for us, we can't help but praise him. He is so good. We were created for praise. In Psalm 150, it says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." It's who we are. It's in us. And if we don't praise the Lord, we're going to praise something. That's the way we were created, the way we were made. So I've titled this message, "The Power of Praise," and I'm going to attempt in a short amount of time to answer three questions. And these questions are, so what does praise look like? What does praise sound like? And what happens when we praise? So I looked up praise in the dictionary and it said, express warm approval of or admiration of. We can't praise Chris enough. He did a brilliant job. And I was like, what? That's praise? Warm approval? I don't think so. Warm approval of God. Nah. So I started to dig deeper and I came across something that I had never heard of in my life. And I've been in church my whole life and I've never heard this about praise. And it was these Hebrew words. So before the Bible was translated into English, there was actually seven words that are now in English the word praise. Seven of them. So we're going to go through these seven words. And don't switch off because you're like, oh, that's another language. Like I did language at school and I really wasn't good at it. I'd switch off. I'd just put my head on the table and go to sleep. That was my sleeping time. but these words are incredible. And I think they can be life-changing if you grab a hold of them. So I want to get all the kids. I didn't know the kids were going to be here. Do you guys want to all come down the front and help me out? Come on. You can demonstrate these words for me. So we've got them up on the screen. The first word is yada. Everyone say yada. So this word means to praise and worship with extended hands. So kids, stand up. You got to show the adults how to do it. Reach your hands out. Is that all the kids? Some of them are shy. To praise and worship with extended hands. This is one of the definitions of the word praise back before it was translated into English. Now, should we do a competition and see how long you can keep them up? You tell me if they drop. Another meaning of the word is to shoot an arrow or to throw a stone. So this is like in worship and praise that we just shoot our hands up because we're just so overcome by the goodness of God. We just want to praise Him. We just want to surrender. We just want to give it all to Him. How good's that? Psalm 67:5, may all the people's praise, may all the people's yada you, God, may all the people's yada you. And I even found the little symbols for this one. See at the top there? So in the Hebrew language, it's kind of little pictures or little scribbles. And so the first one's grace. The next one was supposed to be a picture of a door and then a hand. How are we going, kids? So it's like when we lift and extend our arms out to God, we're reaching our hands out in praise. It opens the door to the Father full of grace and truth. How cool is that? Okay, you guys can sit down. Awesome job. Okay, the next one. Halal. Now, we sang this one this morning in the second song. Awesome song, Shell. So this comes from the root word hallelujah, and it's to celebrate extravagantly. We were doing this morning, celebrating the goodness of God. And extravagant means no restraint, not holding back, going beyond what's normal. And we always say in our family, what is normal? What is it? Who knows? But it's going beyond that. And it's to boast, it's to rave, or to be clamorously foolish. So, Ivy, hey. Psalm 149:3 says, let them praise, that's halal, his name with dancing, and make music to him with a tambourine and the harp. So I find it fascinating that these words are the definitions of praise. It's not about our personality or if we're a really out there kind of person. When I was a teenager, when all the family would go out of the house, I'd be like, yes, there's no one home. And I would pump the music up as loud as it could go without being distorted. And I'd get in the lounge room with my praise and worship on, and I'd just go for it. And I'd just sing and dance and kneel and whatever because no one else was around, and it was awesome. And one day I'm dancing around and singing, and I looked foolish, clamorously foolish, I'm telling you, because I cannot dance. And I remember dancing around and I opened my eyes, and then the whole family is standing in the doorway. Mum and Dad are kind of like the most surprised, happy look on their faces. And then the littles, we called my three younger brothers and sisters the littles. So they were like poking their heads through the doorway trying to see what was going on. And I'm just like, hey. Oh, anyway, clamorously foolish. The next one is zamar, to praise with musical instruments, alone or with voices. So this is what we do every Sunday. This is why we do what we do. I will sing a new song to you, O God, on a harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises, zamar, to you. So this is the musical word for praise. This is talking about the instruments. And instruments were created so we can bring praise to God. It was God's idea, all of this. And you know what? If you don't play a musical instrument, You've actually got them inside you. Pipes? Nice pipes, Tamika. That's a movie quote. The pipes and the breath, the wind goes over the pipe and makes noise. And you've got some strings in the back of your throat called vocal cords. You use them to praise. We've got hands and feet to make the percussion instruments. Yeah. So we can praise with those things. We don't actually have to be an amazing muso. I love it in worship when there's a drum solo. Oh, that's just like my favourite thing. Maybe later. Maybe later. So the next one, Tau Da. Oh, you guys, you got to quickly do a bit of percussion and singing with your voices and your... No, you don't want to. Okay. Tau Da. And I looked these up to know that I was saying them right. So I was like, a Tau and Da. Tau Da. This is a powerful one because this, again, he's talking about lifting our hands and raising our hands, but it's got a really specific meaning to it. So it's lifting our hands more of in a receiving position, thanking God for the things that he hasn't even done yet, for the things we need, but we're praising him and we're worshiping him no matter what. If we've got it or if we don't. This is when we lift our hands in faith and we still believe, even though the miracle hasn't come yet, but it will. It's a sacrifice of praise when we don't always feel like it, but we do it anyway. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. Now, I'll worship you passionately and bring to you my sacrifice of praise. That's Tau Da, drenched with thanksgiving. This is so powerful. The next one, Barak. So this is to kneel down. So kids, you can do this one. This is to kneel. It's to get low in his presence. And this is a physical thing. But it's also a heart thing. It's to get low. It's to humble ourselves. It's a position of our heart. Hey. Sorry, I got up. To kneel before the King. To bless him as an act of adoration. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. And I also heard a guy talking about this, and he said another meaning back in the ancient times was that when you come before the King, that you keep eye contact with the King. So as you come in, you keep eye contact the whole time. And the whole time that you're in the room, you keep eye contact on the King. So as we come to church on a Sunday, imagine if we all kept eye contact on the King. It wouldn't matter what song we're singing. It wouldn't matter if you like it or if you don't. You wouldn't be standing there, oh, look, what T-shirt's Ryan wearing today? I don't really like this song, do you? It wouldn't be like that. It's eye contact on the King. It's praising him from our hearts no matter what's going on around. It's not like, oh, how was the worship today? Yeah, it was good. No, it was, how was my worship? Oh. Okay, we've got two left. Tehillah. This is a new song, an unrehearsed song, to sing in the spirit. So these are things that are going back thousands of years. Pray, Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His tehillah praise shall continually be in my mouth. So this is when we just start singing. We just start making up words and it just starts flowing out of our hearts and our lives because he's just so good. That's why when there's people up on stage, they just start singing and the words aren't up there. It's a Tehillah praise that just magnifies him, and it's something that only you can do with your words. And in Psalm 22, in the King James, it says, God inhabits the praises of his people. That's the Tehillah. He inhabits it when we just sing. It doesn't matter if it rhymes. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. It doesn't matter if you've got a good voice or not. It blesses his heart. And it blesses other people's hearts. Sometimes, like, Shell is amazing. She just starts singing these words, and it's so prophetic, and it's in the spirit, and it's like, it just speaks to people's hearts. Tehillah praise. Last one, Shabbat. Now, kids, I want you to jump up, do a big, big shout, and then you can go back to your chairs. Can you do it? Ready? We'll count you in. One, two, three. Should we try again? You can do it. You can do it. Ready? One, two, three. Okay, we're going to do it with them. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I told you, you never know what happens in church. So this is to shout, to address in a loud tone, to triumph. A holy roar, victory. Psalm 145:4, one generation shall shabak your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. We can get loud in church. In the Psalms, they were loud. And part of praise is passing it on to the next generation. It's praising in our homes. It's praising in front of our kids. It's praising, and that's the holy roar that it goes from one generation to the next generation. Oh, this gets me so excited. I just imagine like a sea of people, an army of people just praising and worshiping. Imagine when we get to heaven. Every tribe, every nation, every skin color. Sometimes here I'm just like, oh, this is just, I feel like I'm gonna lift off the ground or something. Like, imagine in heaven all the people praising and worshiping God. It will be amazing. So these seven words, actually, after I had kind of studied into this and looked into this, I was trying to work out how to pronounce them, and I came across a book that Chris Tomlin and Darren Whitehead has written all about this. So it's called Holy Roar, Seven Words That Will Change the Way You Worship. So if you want to dig more into that, that would be a great read. So these seven words, they show us what praise looks like and sounds like, and just gives us a deeper understanding of why we get so crazy in church. So you're ready for what happens next? How are we going for time? Acts 16, if you got your Bibles. We're going to turn to one of my favourite stories, Paul and Silas. So Paul and Silas, these two guys in the Bible, they were travelling around, preaching the gospel, going from town to town. And this one day, they were on their way to the house of prayer. And as they were going, this young servant girl started following them. And this girl was demon-possessed. It says in some translations it was the python spirit, which I found out a python spirit is exactly like a python. It gets around you and it tries to squeeze the life out of you. So this girl was possessed by this spirit, and she started yelling at the top of her voice, "These men are the most servants of the Most High God. They're telling us how to be saved." She was yelling and screaming, following them around. And this kept going on and on for days. How annoying would that be? Yelling and screaming. I get a lot of screaming at home, but it's not evil, so that's good. So this girl just kept yelling and screaming until Paul got so annoyed. he turned around, he cast the demon out in Jesus' name, and it was gone. But the owners of the slave girl were just really annoyed because they were making money off her because she could predict the future. So they took them to the authorities, and I'm trying to cut it a little bit shorter. So we're going to start reading from verse 23. It said, after they were severely beaten, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and had their feet bound and chained. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God, while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. When I read that, I think, wow, what champions. Following Jesus, preaching the gospel, casting out demons, healing the sick, then they get thrown in prison, beaten to a pulp for it. So these guys, they would have been in so much pain, severely beaten. I can't even really comprehend what that would be like. Open wounds, feet bound in stocks, and apparently even the stocks were painful just to have them around your ankles, these big heavy metal stocks. And it said it was midnight, so they were tired as well. Who else gets a bit tired at midnight? I tried to make it till midnight for New Year's and I was drifting off. Yeah, Happy New Year. Then off you go to sleep. But these guys, it's midnight. They're in prison and they start to praise God. That's what you call a sacrifice of praise. You know, it's easy to praise God when everything's going awesome and life's great and we see miracles and things are awesome. It just happens. We praise Him. But it's not as easy when things are going wrong, when there's giants standing in the way, when you're in pain, when you're broken. It's not as easy. When you feel like the life is getting sucked out of you. But this is a sacrifice of praise. That we would choose to put on praise no matter the circumstance, because God didn't make the bad things happen. He's still good. He's always good. So that's what Paul and Silas did. They had had a revelation of what praise can do. So as they praised, all the other prisoners listened. Verse 26, suddenly a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. And all at once, every prison door flung open and the chains of all the prisoners came loose. Startled, the jailer awoke and saw every cell door standing open. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself when Paul shouted in the darkness, "Stop! Don't hurt yourself. We're all still here." So the jailer called for a light, and when he saw that they were all still in their cells, he rushed in and he fell trembling at their feet. And then he led Paul and Silas outside and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Oh, I love this story. It said every chain fell off. Every prison door was open. That's how we break strongholds in our lives. That's how we get rid of fear, addiction, sickness, depression, praise. There's so much victory in it, and if we got a hold of it, how different could our lives look? When we praise, heaven comes down to earth and His presence comes and invades. Oh, it's so good. God and His mighty power, He breaks through darkness. And I love that it's not just for us either. It said all the prisoners. So if your family needs a breakthrough, praise. Our praise can set other people free. Our praise can bring this community to Jesus and set them free. Praise is the big picture. And the rest of that story is so amazing. I think it's one of the most epic nights in history because he takes Paul and Silas to his house and it says that they share a meal together. He washes their wounds and cleans them up. The whole entire family gets saved. They all go and get baptized. Who knows where, but they did. And then they came back to the prison in the morning and this was all just in the night. What an awesome night. Maybe I could have stayed awake. If I had seen prison doors open and all that, would have been so cool. So as the band comes back, maybe you're like the prison guard. Maybe you've never seen the power of God at work. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Him personally. Maybe today could be the day that you will say, what must I do to be saved? And the Bible tells us it's so simple. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That when He died on that cross, when He hung there, He took all our sin, all our guilt, all our shame, all our fear, all our sickness and disease and everything that's not good, He took it upon Himself. And that's why we take the bread and we take the juice and we remember what He did. That's why we've got the victory. It's all because of Jesus. So we're going to do something a little bit different. The ushers are going to bring the communion. We're going to put it on the stage. And these guys are going to play. And we've got a couple of songs, so you don't have to rush. But I want you to just come out, take your bread and wine, and just spend a moment praising Jesus for what He did for you. You might want to bow. You might want to shout. We won't judge. You might want to start dancing. You might just want to be quiet in His presence. You might want to start singing a song of thanks to Him. Jesus is so good and He's worthy of all the praise. Let's just stand and thank Him. God, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your presence here. That in Your presence You come and You change us. You make us more like You. In Your presence we get to see Your beauty, Your power, Your love. Father, thank You for sending Jesus. We praise You and we honor You. And I just pray in this time of praise and worship, as we come and we take communion, it will be a special time for each one of us. We would meet face to face with You. I pray that anyone that's sick would be healed in Jesus' name. I pray that anyone that's battling with things in their mind, that they would be healed in Jesus' name. Jesus, we love You so much. Amen. So we're going to sing and you can just come up in your own time and feel free to stay up the front. Just worship and praise.